Welcome, I'm Holly Kernan, and this is Your Call. Yesterday, Private First Class Bradley Manning was found guilty of several violations of the U.S. Espionage Act. However, he was declared not guilty of the most serious charge, which was aiding the enemy. Manning is a whistleblower, but how you interpret that word and Manning's actions is under fierce debate. He released 700,000 pages of military and diplomatic documents to WikiLeaks in 2010 and 2011. It's the largest leak of classified information in U.S. history. Manning said he released the material to expose the U.S. military's bloodlust, I'm quoting, and diplomatic duplicity. He said he chose information he believed would not harm the United States, but would start a debate on military and foreign policy. So how are you viewing Manning's actions and yesterday's verdict? Is it a victory for press freedom? Joining us to talk about the case and its implications, we have in studio David Talbot, who is founder and former editor-in-chief of Salon.com. He started a new project called Open America, which aims to connect investigative journalists with whistleblowers, and he's working on a book about the history of the CIA during the Cold War. He's a member of the Bradley Manning Support Group. Hi, David.
Hi, Holly.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And by phone, we've got Kevin Gostola, who's a civil liberties blogger at Fire Dog Lake, and he's one of only a handful of journalists covering the Manning trial on a daily basis. He's there now. He recently wrote the pieces through clips from collateral murder video, defense attempts to show truth about Bradley Manning, and in closing argument, government casts Bradley Manning as an anarchist, hacker, and traitor. Hi, Kevin. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And he's at the sentencing. Today is the first day in the sentencing phase of the Manning trial. We're also joined by Richard Sanza, who's managing editor of Army Times. He's a former Army armor official, a helicopter pilot, and a public affairs officer. And he reported for Gannett's Westchester Rockland newspapers in White Plains, New York, and the Wilmington News Journal in Delaware before spending a decade at Newsweek magazine, covering, among other beats, the Pentagon, the CIA, FBI, and the Justice Department. Hi, Richard.
Hi there. How are you?
Thank you. Thanks for joining us, especially I know you're busy covering this trial, Kevin. I'm going to just quickly recap what happened. Bradley Manning was an Army intelligence analyst in Iraq, and he downloaded more than 700 classified documents from U.S. military servers, passed them to WikiLeaks, and then outlets like The Guardian published a series of stories based on the contents of those files. Manning was arrested in May of 2010 outside of Baghdad, and he was charged with 22 counts, including aiding the enemy. That's the one that he was found not guilty of. He was held in solitary confinement for 11 months, and he was stripped naked at night during that solitary confinement. The UN special reporter on torture formally accused the U.S. government of cruel, inhuman, and degrading treatment towards Bradley Manning. His trial lasted 2 months, and he spent 3 years in military jail, and the sentencing phase of his trial is beginning today. So the big question that the sentencing phase is going to address is what Bradley Manning actually did and how much damage was caused by these leaks. And lots of people are also saying a lot of public good and public understanding came from these leaks. So let me start with you, Richard. What do you think is the actual damage of these leaks by Bradley Manning? And you don't consider him to be a whistleblower, right?
I do not. But let me say up front, I do not work for the United States Army. The Army Times is an independent newspaper that covers the Army. So I'm
right, it's a publication. It's the
it's
Army
a publication,
Times.
Yes, gotcha. But I'm not in the Army, nor do I work for the Army or the Defense Department.
You are a former Army officer, however.
Yeah, many years ago.
Got it.
The question was, what damage did he do?
That's right. What do you consider to be the damage from these leaks?
I think it's more embarrassment than anything else, particularly on the State Department cables and things, where he illustrated what people really thought of their counterparts in different countries. And then on the military side, there's a lot of information. I've gone through some of these. It's way too much for me to go through all of them. But there's a lot of names of people who are working with U.S. forces in Iraq and Afghanistan, and my guess is that those people's the people we're fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan would love to know who the I guess they could call them collaborators, were and could put their lives in danger.
So, but you seem to be saying that the biggest damage is essentially embarrassment?
Unless you're one of those people who might get killed by the Taliban because
they found out. But has anything actually happened to anybody concretely?
I do not know the answer to that.
Let me put the question to you, David, and Kevin. Starting with you, David, what do you think is the damage here or the public good?
Well, there's virtually no damage that's been proven by the government. In fact, the Pentagon withdrew from its original charge that Bradley Manning had blood on his hands. It just could not prove the case, and the judge, obviously, in yesterday's decision, agreed that there was no evidence that he had actually caused any death. In fact, what he was doing was exposing death and destruction, and it was beyond embarrassment. These were war crimes that he was exposing that were happening on the ground in Baghdad, in Iraq, the wanton slaughter of Reuters journalists and other innocent civilians. And he felt that he couldn't, in good conscience, as a warrior, as a soldier, live with that. You know, soldiers and people in the military are obligated under international law not to follow illegal orders, unlawful orders, or to cover them up. And I think what he was doing was in the greater good of the interest of the nation.
And let me put that to Richard, because we only have Richard with us for the first part of this show. Was there a greater good? Did he not have an obligation to reveal what some are calling war crimes?
Well, it depends on whether they're war crimes or not, doesn't it? And the particular video referenced by the other gentleman.
By David, yeah.
Is if you've watched the video, if you watch the entire video, not just the little piece WikiLeaks put out, you watch the entire video, there's a term called the fog of war, and this was a very complicated situation, and you know these guys were doing their best to protect their troops. They were down the road under attack, and yes, they should have done a better job of figuring out who they're shooting at, but you know. That stuff happens. That's war.
Well, but don't we have a right to know about it if that stuff happens? Go ahead, David. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, we do have a right to know, and that's what Bradley Manning was saying. He wanted to spark a debate. He wanted to spark a debate about the use of military force in this country, which he thinks has gone way too far. I agree with that. I mean, I'm 61 years old, and this country's been at war virtually throughout my entire life. At some point, the American public has to stand back and say, do we want this? Whose interests are being served by this? Now, there are people in the military, because these are the men and women, actually with their bodies on the line, who are saying this themselves. Andrew Bacevich is one of the most prominent, obviously, military critics of U.S. empire. This is putting too much of a burden on our fighting men and women. And so they're being asked to do, I think, unconscionable things, in, as this gentleman says, in the heat of war. Nobody should be asked to be doing what these people, these soldiers in Iraq were doing. We went to war illegally, let's not forget. We went to war in Iraq because of the lies of the Bush administration. There were no weapons of mass destruction. We were lied to about that. Bradley Manning found himself in the heat of that illegal war and couldn't live with what he was seeing.
Richard, do you want to respond to that before I go to Kevin, who's covering the...
Not at all.
Kevin, you've been actually at the trial this whole time, and most of us have just been reading about it. Some people are saying that yesterday's verdict proves that military justice is working. What are your thoughts on having actually witnessed this trial?
Well, first, I kind of want to clarify just a couple of things that I heard in those remarks just quickly, which is to say that during testimony, we didn't get any evidence that confirmed that there were names in those military reports. So I would press for an example to be given if there is one that's public, because he released significant action reports, not human intelligence reports. And in the
I beg to interrupt. If you read the WikiLeaks files, you'll see the names of those people in there.
Okay, sir. I didn't interrupt you when you were giving your first statement. This is the first opportunity I've had to talk, so I would like to finish what
Go
I'm
ahead.
Saying so you can understand what I would like to have you respond to, which is that what I heard in the testimony, and I have been at this trial, I don't know if you have been, I haven't met you, but I've been at this trial hearing that in these reports, people who were informants or were individuals that would be at risk had a number. They were coded. Their names weren't in these reports because that would make the information rise to the level of top secret information. That would make it even more sensitive if those individuals are being named. It was bad information practice to have those individuals named. And so that's what I would put to you. I would also question your characterization of the collateral murder video based on what I was shown in this courtroom. We watched the whole video at the request of the prosecutor, saying that they didn't want the defense to cherry-pick what we were going to see from that video. Well, let me tell you, at the end of that video, which I actually had never watched the whole entire video since WikiLeaks released an edited version that was 17 minutes, but the whole video, if you get to the last 10 minutes, you see a bystander walking by a building, and he is doing absolutely nothing. There's no evidence he's carrying a weapon, and he gets fired upon by a missile and killed. But there's no evidence that he's causing any harm or is trying to target any troops. And he isn't even trying to go into this building where they think there are people with weapons.
That's Kevin Gostola. He's a writer and curator of Fire Dog Lakes, the dissenter blog covering civil liberties, and he's covering the Bradley Manning trial from inside of the courtroom. We're also joined by Richard Sanza, who's managing editor of the Army Times, which is a publication that covers the Army, and David Talbot, who's founder and former editor-in-chief of Salon.com. He's now founder of Open America, which is connecting investigative reporters with whistleblowers, and he's a member of the Bradley Manning support group. You're listening to Your Call. You can join our conversation by calling 866-798-TALK. It's a toll-free number. What's your reaction to the Bradley Manning verdict of yesterday and the sentencing phase, which began today? How do you judge Bradley Manning's actions? Is he a hero? Is he a criminal? The number is 866-798-8255. You can also send us email to feedback@yourcallradio.org. What do you think is the role of whistleblowers in society, and what protections do they deserve? What about within the military, and what do you consider espionage? Was it prosecutorial overreach to charge Bradley Manning with aiding the enemy? 866-798-TALK is our toll-free number. And Richard, I want to go to you. We're talking about this video that was released by Bradley Manning that does show military in Iraq firing on civilians. Two journalists were killed. I believe children were in that group of people that was fired upon. So how do you respond to what Kevin was talking about?
What I said earlier, that the context of it is that there were troops on both sides of that little plaza who were under attack, and these people were sent there to try to defend them. They did a terrible job of defending them, and they shot the wrong people. I agree with that.
Well, a lot of people are kind of comparing this to the exposure of the My Lai massacre in Vietnam, and that is not a violation. That's doing your duty as a soldier to report on this.
Okay.
You don't have a response to that?
None.
Got it. Okay, so let me ask both Kevin.
Unfortunately, Holly, justice was not served in the My Lai massacre either. No one ultimately was served any lengthy time at all. Lieutenant Kelly, of course, was the scapegoat there, and he was put under house arrest finally and then given a pardon by President Nixon. So unfortunately, the military can't be counted on in these situations to dispense justice properly.
Kevin, do you think justice is being dispensed with properly? You're at the trial.
Yeah, so I think that it was an evidence that there is something working with this judge, that he wasn't convicted of aiding the enemy. If you talk to a lot of military legal experts, the way that they were pursuing this aiding the enemy charge was unprecedented. It was very innovative and novel, and it would have set a standard and made it possible to go after leakers in the military and charge them with an offense as if they had been, you know, committing something just shy of treason. And I don't think that if you willfully disclose information without authorization, that automatically makes it an offense where you will be aiding the enemy. I would just have to admit that in the 21st century, the information age that we find ourselves in, that no matter what, when we put information out there, enemies are going to read it. As the prosecutor said, although it's kind of Orwellian in a way, the public includes the enemy. Well, Yes, and all press that are reporting on the military could be potentially putting out information that the enemy would seize upon and take advantage. But, you know, that's just what we have happening in this age. It's something we have to get used to. And I think the military prides itself on being able to adapt to the changing of enemy tactics. And I think it prides itself on its ability to respond when the enemy is shifting the way that it responds to U.S. forces. And so I think that the military should just learn to get used to the information age rather than try to send a message to people like Bradley Manning and coming down with these novel theories about how Bradley Manning aided the enemy.
Do you think Manning should have been more selective in the information that he was releasing? Do you think that it was rash and sort of unreasonable to just release so many documents, 700,000 documents, without being more selective, Kevin? And then I'm going to go to you with that, David.
Well, let's put this into perspective, because 700,000 documents is a very tiny fraction of information that is kept secret on the government networks that Manning had access to. And so there are many, many different things that he could have released that he did not choose to release, because in his training as an intelligence analyst, he would have known that if you put out information about high-value targets that the government is going after, that that could be very damaging to the United States. And he didn't do that. He had access to multiple different military databases that never made it out to WikiLeaks. And so my answer to that is just that I do believe if I take his statement that he gave and read in court on February 28th to be fair and accurate and not to be composed of lies because he was saying it in a military courtroom, that I think that it shows he made a rational decision for each set of documents and thought about selecting that information. So I do believe that you can say he was selective. And I also say that's why I think people who deny he's a whistleblower are lying to themselves, because I think you can have it both ways. I think you can say that he committed crimes and offenses, but is a whistleblower who, you know, invites prosecution. And I think he wants to and thinks he can have it both ways, because he definitely pled guilty to offenses and he expects to go to prison for some time. He hopes not to go to prison for the rest of his life, but he also thinks he should still be regarded as a whistleblower, and so does his attorney, David Coombs.
And he's taken responsibility for his actions. He's already spent 3 years in prison. Richard, do you think that he was selective in his release of this information, as Kevin does?
It looked to me like a huge data dump. I don't know, you know, what he says about his motives and how he chose the documents. You know, we'll take him at his word, but it's a massive data dump. Again, if you look at all that stuff, and I've looked at a portion of it, and as for whether he's a whistleblower, if being a whistleblower absolves him of responsibility for doing this, I don't think he's a whistleblower. If he can be a whistleblower and be responsible for it, hey, he's a whistleblower. I got no problem with that.
Go ahead, David.
Well, clearly he's a whistleblower because he didn't do this for money. We know that. He didn't approach the enemy. He wasn't a traitor. He did this for the good of the American people, for our beleaguered American democracy. You know, there's no way to have actually an informed debate the way that President Obama wants us to about national security and so on without having information. And the only way to get the information out of this top secret empire that we are now faced with is when there's people of conscience who work with inside the empire, like Ed Snowden and Bradley Manning, who leak it. Now, let's not forget the other part of this equation. It wasn't just Bradley Manning doing a document dump of 700,000 documents. He was eager. He was on fire to find the right people to give these documents to. He wanted to go to the New York Times. He wanted to go to the Washington Post initially, but he was rebuffed. He ended up going to Julian Assange and WikiLeaks out of desperation. And, you know, WikiLeaks, whatever you think of it, did provide some filter for those documents as well, did analyze them and so on before they made them public. And then, of course, the New York Times and other publications, The Guardian and London and so on throughout the world, chose to publish many of these documents. So there was a filtering process. And so, you know, my question for the press, these people now like Jeffrey Toobin and others who get up on, Anderson Cooper's show last night on CNN and defend the conviction of Bradley Manning is, if you believe in a free press, and I assume you do as a journalist, then what the hell are you doing defending the government in this case and saying that whistleblowers who you rely on for your to do your duty as a journalist are going to jail in your name?
I mean, doesn't the government have a duty to prosecute? Otherwise, they would risk the danger of widespread leaks of classified information?
They have a duty to prosecute, but people like Manning have a duty to defend themselves as well. And the American people have a duty to live up to their civic responsibilities and take a stand on this. Because unless there's pushback from the American people and the press, the government will continue to hound people from one end of the globe to the other who have the bravery to speak out.
And I'm going to ask you about that in just a second. That's David Talbot. He's founder and former editor-in-chief of Salon.com and now Open America, which connects investigative reporters with whistleblowers. We're also speaking with Kevin Gostola, who's a writer and curator of Fire Dog Lakes, the dissenter, and he's covering the Bradley Manning trial from inside the courtroom. Richard Sanza is managing editor of the Army Times. That's a publication, a journalistic outlet that covers the Army. And Richard, thank you so much for joining us. I know that you have to go. We really appreciate you taking the time.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Yes, you're listening to your call. I'm Holly Kernan, and we're talking about the Bradley Manning case. We have a full bank of calls. I'm going to get to you right after this break. But somebody emailed and says, espionage, the definition is the practice of spying or the use of spies to obtain information about the plans and activities of a foreign government or competing company. And that's what Bradley Manning was convicted of yesterday. And he wants to know, how does what Manning did fit with this definition, David?
Well, I agree. It's an outrage that he was prosecuted under this 1917 law that was passed, of course, during World War I, so the Wilson administration could suppress dissent in this country. But no administration has prosecuted whistleblowers as much as the Obama administration has. They have filed more than twice as many cases against whistleblowers as all other presidencies combined.
Do you think that that's because we're living in the digital age and whistleblowing is a different gig at this point? What do you think is happening right now?
Well, I think,
that this administration is just more draconian?
I think that's part of it. I think they're more threatened, obviously, and there's a reason. When there's over 4 million people who have security clearance, who have access to classified information.
That's like Edward Snowden did. These contractors that suddenly there's this massive security state, frankly.
That's right. And that's the chink in the armor, fortunately, of this massive national security state, that there are people who are very savvy in computer skills, who this empire relies on, and many of them, fortunately, have a conscience. And I think we're going to see more Ed Snowdens and more Bradley Mannings as a result.
And, Kevin, we're about to go to a break, so just very briefly, what did you think of the espionage charge? As David says, this is pretty much unprecedented.
Well, this is a show that talks about the media, so let me just say quickly that I don't believe that the U.S. press has done a good enough job of explaining to Americans how this relic of a law from World War I, the Espionage Act, is being used as it was never intended to go after leakers or whistleblowers. And the fact that the Obama administration, their Justice Department, has taken it upon itself to transform the law into an official secrets act where we are punishing people just for merely releasing what the government calls national defense information. The standard has been lowered to where you don't have to prove it's going to be potentially damaging to the United States anymore. You just have to prove that it was national defense information and you released it without authorization from a superior officer or a senior official that was authorized to declassify it. And we need to really look at the overclassification problem.
Okay, we're going to continue with that right after we go to a short break. We'll get to callers right after this break. I'm Holly Kernan, and you're listening to Your Call.
Join in today's conversation. If you have a question, idea, or experience to contribute to the program, call 866-798-8255, 866-798-TALK. You can also send an email question or comment to feedback@yourcallradio.org.
For those of you joining us now, I'm Holly Kernan, and this is Your Call. We're podcasting our show. You can find more information at yourcallradio.org. That's also where you can listen to past shows and find out what's coming up next. Tomorrow, what are the best methods for preventing destructive wildfires? We'll talk about strategies like controlled burns and ask, how well are we managing our forests and wildlands? Friday is our weekly media roundtable. We'll talk to journalists about the coverage of this week's news. And today we're talking about Bradley Manning, the soldier who released massive amounts of classified information to WikiLeaks. A military judge found him not guilty of the controversial charge of aiding the enemy, but he still may face more than 100 years in prison for the lesser charges of espionage, theft, and computer violations. So how could this verdict affect future whistleblowers, and how do you judge Bradley Manning's actions? I'll give out the number in just a minute because we have full lines right now, but one will be free soon, and I'll give out the number then. You can also email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org. Again, that's feedback@yourcallradio.org. You can also post information and comments at our website. That's yourcallradio.org. And that's also where there's a lot more information about this case, articles, and links to all of our guests. So I'm going to go straight to callers. Let's go to Scott in San Francisco. Welcome to Your Call, Scott.
Oh, hello, Holly. Thanks for taking my call. My first ever to public radio.
Oh, thank you for calling.
David. Yeah. I'm inspired. Thank you, Kevin and David, for your articulate and democratic commentary. I just have a quick comment and a question. A whistleblower reports corruption or crime in the workplace, and I personally believe Bradley Manning is a hero. You know, for what he's gone through, I think what our government has done to him is embarrassing, to say the least. And the Obama administration, I think, is just showing how desperate they are. You know, our beleaguered American democracy and our free press, supposedly free press, are being exposed. There's very little accountability. That's about it. My question is, what happened to whistleblower protections?
Well, and I'm going to piggyback on that, Scott. So what happened to whistleblower protections is the question, and how does civilian justice differ from military justice, David? And Kevin, I'll go to you in just a sec.
Well, whistleblower protection is very limited at this point. Obama claims now that he wants to, of course, shore up some of those, some of that protection. But at the same time, as we've said, he's more aggressively prosecuting whistleblowing than any other administration. It's up to the press to fight back. The press, is next. James Risen, who's one of the few reporters, he's a New York Times reporter. Who's been aggressively covering the national security state. Now he's under fire. They're coming after him because he won't reveal his sources, and he's looking at a stretch in prison because he is brave enough to stand by his sources. So when the press caves on this issue, they're just cutting their own throats. I mean, when the Jeffrey Toobins, as I mentioned, who was on CNN last night endorsing the conviction of Bradley Manning, it's just so short-sighted, it's appalling.
Is there any...
So we won't get tougher. The point is, Holly, we won't get tougher whistleblower protection until the press itself starts screaming for it and lobbying for it.
Is there a definition for whistleblower within the military, Kevin? As opposed to traitor?
There appears to be, because there's a Military Whistleblower Protection Act, and I don't have that legal definition handy, but I want to answer your question about what's the difference between what I've been witnessing and what could happen in a civilian courtroom, and I just have to tell you that I'm not sure there would be a whole lot of difference, because if we look at the way that courts these days are looking at national security cases, I think that they are very deferential to the national security or intelligence agencies of this country, so much so that they allow the executive branch or specifically presidential administrations to come in and invoke state secrets privilege so that people can't pursue their cases and challenge whether, you know, for example, they've been tortured or whether they think they've been spied upon by warrantless wiretaps. So the fact of the matter is that there in this courtroom here at Fort Meade, we've got a judge who understands that she's representing the military, who understands that she's got to uphold and protect the national security of the United States, whatever that might be to her, and she's doing it with her verdict that she issued yesterday in Bradley Manning's trial.
And that is Kevin Gostela. He's a writer and curator of Fire Dog Lakes, the dissenter. He's at Fort Meade covering the Bradley Manning trial from inside of the courtroom, and they're in the sentencing phase, which started today. I believe that there are congressional hearings right now about the NSA data collection happening as we speak. We're also speaking with David Talbot, who's founder and former editor-in-chief of Salon.com. He's also the founder of Open America, which aims to connect investigative reporters with whistleblowers, and he's a member of the Bradley Manning Support Group. You're listening to Your Call. I'm Holly Kernan. Let's go to GS in Richmond. Hi, GS. Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Good morning. I also believe that Bradley Manning and Edward Snowden are heroes. These people have stood up for, I would call it, some sort of sacred oath that we each take in our hearts to protect life. And they've stood up for something when they've realized that our government has so totally gone off the rails that with utter disregard, they slaughter people, they invade, they take, they steal, they cover up their tracks, they are secreting themselves away, and it's almost as though our nation is splitting apart. There are those who are in the know, and then there's everybody else. And I think it's time for the citizenry to pay really close attention to what's going on, because something really awful has been going on for a very long time, and only the citizens standing up en masse can put an end to this and perhaps alter or abolish the government we're stuck with. That's it. Thank you.
Thanks for calling, GS. Yeah, David.
Well, I completely agree with the caller. I mean, Jimmy Carter himself, former president of the United States, of course, who's devoted, the last part of his life and career to monitoring democracy around the world, said last week that the United States no longer has a functioning democracy. That is a terrible thought for all of us to contemplate. I mean, we're at the point now where the United States government has to go to the Kremlin, to promise that it won't torture and execute an American citizen as a way of trying to get pry loose Edward Snowden out of Russia. I mean, this is humiliating for Americans. You know, everything we've learned as citizens in the classroom growing up in this country is at stake at this point. Our very freedoms are at stake.
Are Snowden and Assange the kind of elephants in the room at this trial?
Well, the canaries in the coal mine. I mean, you know, as they go, the rest of the country, I think, goes. This could be the final stand for us in my lifetime, at least. That's why I'm putting everything I have on the line as a journalist at this point to fight for these issues. This is the fundamental issue of freedom of speech and American democracy that's at stake right now.
And do you consider WikiLeaks a journalistic organization, a media outlet?
It doesn't matter in a sense. They became one out of necessity because there was such a large vacuum, because the mainstream media wasn't doing its job. As I said earlier, the New York Times and the Washington Post was not interested in Bradley Manning until WikiLeaks, basically vetted him. So Julian Assange put his neck on the line, and as a result, now he's holed up in the embassy in London, the Ecuadorian embassy, and he can't be released. He's essentially under house arrest. So that's what the people in the national security state, who are completely out of control, want, of course. They want to corner people. They want to make them ineffective. And so far, they've done a good job with Bradley Manning, who's, as you say, now facing over 100 years in prison, and Assange cornered in the embassy, and Ed Snowden cornered in the Moscow airport.
Well, unlike Assange and Snowden, Manning has actually taken responsibility for his actions. He spent 3 years in prison, 1 year under severe conditions that were called out by the UN and some consider torture. He's sacrificing his liberty for his beliefs. Some people consider him a hero. Others are saying he's a traitor. We do have one open line if you'd like to join our conversation about the Bradley Manning verdict and whistleblowing and freedom of the press and information. Our number is 866-798-TALK. It's a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. And let's go to Karma in Oakland. Hi, Karma. Thanks for calling.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. This is my first time calling. And anyway, basically what I wanted to say is Bradley Manning to me is definitely a hero. And I wish and hope that more and more people support him and more people leak more important documents like this. And I wanted to say that American people should definitely support Bradley Manning, because right now it seems like we are so materialized, so individualized to the point where we forgot that we are a social animal. And so we have to realize that we can't individually, we are powerless. We have to come together. And these people who are politicians, very close to, cozy with the business, big business and stuff, we have to let them know that we are the one who put them in the office in the first place. So we have to realize that individualistic society is not real, realistic for us. We as a social animal, we have to learn to come together and make impact. So to me, I wanted to say Bradley Manning sacrificing his life for rest of the humanity is someone who understands that individualistic is not reality. So I wish I could say more, but I'm a little emotional right here.
Yeah.
But I do want to say that he is definitely hero to me. And I know there's a lot of people who feel the same way, but they're a little too afraid by the intimidation from the structure that we are under right now. So I would say if you're afraid, your kids and the future generation will be oppressed. So let's take a chance and make our future generation and future a better place.
Well, thank you for calling, Karma. It's really nice to have you on the air. David, what do you say to people like Karma, who just called, and Scott before him, who say Manning is a hero, and what can they do to plug into this movement, the Bradley Manning Support Group, for example?
Well, they are clearly heroes because they put themselves on the line, their lives on the line. These are young men who had a very bright future ahead of them, very, you know, intelligent, very skillful at the use of computers. They could have had very lucrative careers, and yet they risked everything, literally, to do what they did. And how many of us would do that? Yes, absolutely. They're heroes, and we need to support them. Again, I go back to my profession, the press. The press is benefiting from these brave whistleblowers. We couldn't do our work. We couldn't pry open these walls of secrecy without people inside who are leaking this information. You know, the biggest leaker, by the way, as Glenn Greenwald, my old colleague at Salon, has pointed out, is the government itself. The government, of course, leaks all the time when it's in its interest to promote itself, to promote its interests. And it's only people who are marginalized, like Bradley Manning, who leak for a higher cause, who are being prosecuted here. So, look, the press has to really start fighting back. And the independent press, God bless it. I mean, Kevin at Fire Dog Lake, you know, we wouldn't have the kind of coverage of the Bradley Manning trial if it weren't for independent press and bloggers like Kevin, because, you know, the establishment press has been very lax in its coverage, as he pointed out earlier. So people like Glenn Greenwald at The Guardian and Kevin at Fire Dog Lake, we need to support them as well.
And let's go to more callers. Let's go first to Drew in San Francisco. Hi, Drew. Welcome to your call.
Hi. I'm at the dog park, so I'm sorry if you guys hear some noise in the background. But I hear a lot of sympathy for Mr. Manning, and to be honest, I have a lot of sympathy for him, too, except I think that the conversation really needs to be informed by his intent, to the extent it was revealed in his chat logs and things leading up to the revelations. And I think that that really should inform the justice that's dispensed. I mean, it's unquestionable that he's broken some laws. The question is, like in many justice situations, whether or not he gets a dollar fine or time served and sent on his way, or if he's given a lot of time. And, you know, some of your guests have really kind of given him these things as he's aspired to do these great and selfless things. But if you look at the chat logs leading up to it, you know, it seems pretty clear that he had the intent of causing mayhem. He wanted to disturb the U.S. government for the sake of disturbing it, not, you know, saving your options necessarily. I mean, there was some of that in there, but you really get the sense from his chat logs and the coverage in Wired and such that, you know, he was after the attention. He was after, you know, making a rebellious act because he was upset about what had been happening to him, as well as what was happening on the ground in Iraq and Afghanistan and American policy at large. And I think that, you know, unfortunately, whistleblowers, and he is a whistleblower, there's no question about it, I mean, according to their intent, ultimately are judged.
So, Drew,
your guests aren't doing that.
So, Drew, go ahead and stay on the line. We're going to kind of pull your line down since you are at the dog park. But let's put that to Kevin, who's been covering this trial. How important do you think intent is? He did seem like a very disturbed young man. He was a gay soldier serving under Don't Ask, Don't Tell. What's your response to Drew?
Intent is important, and we don't have the findings from the judge yet. They haven't been made public, so we don't know how she arrived at the decision to find Manning not guilty of aiding the enemy. But intent was taken out of this charge improperly. If you ask military law experts, aiding the enemy always has had to have a specific intent. The prosecutors got rid of it, said we just have to prove knowledge. If you say knowledge in the information age in the 21st century, then that could be just about any person who is, you know, revealing information that they have privileged knowledge of, and then they're giving it out to the public. Obviously, anyone in the world who's a member of a terrorist organization could then go access that information on the internet. This could implicate Donald Rumsfeld, for example, for just talking about something that he knows that nobody else knows related to the military. So if it's just knowledge, that makes it unconstitutional, I think. And so intent is everything in this trial. Intent is actually proving that Manning is a criminal and not a whistleblower. And if you can't prove that his intent was malicious or nefarious, then I think you have to admit that he was just violating these laws and codes for a purpose that he thought was going to be beneficial to humanity.
Holly?
Yeah, go ahead, David.
I think your caller, unfortunately, is falling into the same thing that the government has tried to do, that many people friendly to the government and the Obama administration, the media have tried to do, which is to pathologize Bradley Manning rather than to look at what he's been revealing, rather than to look at the crimes themselves, and which I think he did reveal as a man of conscience. You know, the story becomes Bradley Manning and how, as you say, he was a troubled youth and he was uncertain about his sexuality and he was somehow acting out. He was a brat instead of a man of conscience. And that's a way of diminishing the man himself. And look, the same thing was done to Daniel Ellsberg. I'm old enough to remember how
The Pentagon Papers, our own Daniel Ellsberg, who's right here in Berkeley. Yeah.
That's right. And of course, now he's lionized. He's a hero. He's taught in history books. And we all love Daniel Ellsberg because the Vietnam War, we know, was terrible and so on. But they did the same thing to him. The Nixon administration, the media did the same thing to him. They broke into his psychiatrist's office to get more dirt on his psychology. They were leaking right and left that he was taking drugs, that he was this and that and so on. So that's their game, you know, and we have to, like, look beyond that game. The truth, the essential truth about this case is that Bradley Manning, acting out of conscience, leaked information that was vital to the American people to know about how the dirty wars that America is engaged in constantly, how that is actually fought on the ground.
And let's go to Mark in Berkeley. Hi, Mark. Welcome to your call.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I was wondering if there's any way politically to put pressure on the military criminals that our whistleblower is exposed. I mean, as I see it right now, I don't see any motivation on behalf of the military to do anything else to hang these people. And the thing is, as so many court cases routinely are, they're deals. And in a situation where the military was facing prosecution, you know, the officers of the soldiers involved, I mean, history is filled with situations like the My Lai massacre, you know, dating back to Vietnam, where the officers were promoted, you know, and so, you know, Colin Powell, Lieutenant Calley became a bank, you know, president. These people do this stuff with impunity, and from the military's point of view, they're going to keep doing it unless they feel some pressure. So I'm wondering if there's some way that we can politically put pressure on, you know, our politicians to go after these war criminals, and I'm hoping that the friendly media like this show can actually put out more information on the actual crimes. Because that's what I'm not hearing a lot about. I'm hearing about, you know, Bradley Manning a lot, but I'm not hearing about what he outed. Can I get a comment on that? Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. So there's two questions. A little bit more information about the information that Bradley Manning released, the important information. We'll put links to a lot of that at yourcallradio.org. But David and Kevin, the question is about political pressure. Go ahead, Kevin.
What I would say to that is that essentially these war criminals, the people who have tortured, who committed felonies when they engaged in warrantless wiretapping, those people are at large because of the motto of the Obama administration, which was to move forward without looking backward. And we obviously haven't done that in Bradley Manning's case. We didn't just move forward and instead of looking backward. But I think that that's something that the media collectively accepted, politicians accepted because it made their jobs easier. It's what the national security and intelligence agencies wanted, which was to not have anybody in the institutions face any accountability or be punished for what they did and have to take responsibility for their actions. They want Manning to take responsibility for his actions of violating the law, but they don't want to take responsibility for their actions, which were criminal. And so I think that at the end of the day, what we really have to confront here is the way that justice is not we really have a system of injustice when you get right down to it, because there are people at the top that will never have to go on trial, but individuals at the low level are at the most risk of being punished for their role in not just doing acts like Bradley Manning, but even in being scapegoated for being involved in things that we find to be reprehensible.
You know, I just want to underline what I think people of conscience, what people who are listening to this show, obviously, people in San Francisco are very concerned about this. What we're up against, the enormity of this national security colossus that has grown, metastasized over the last half century. You know, back in the Cold War, and I'm writing a book about the CIA during the Cold War, President Eisenhower warned us as he was leaving office about the military-industrial complex. Well, that looks quaint now in comparison to what we have now. Now we have an entire economy that's been militarized. We have a media infrastructure that's taking money and awards and grants from many of these same, the national security sector of our economy. We have, everything basically from Google to Lockheed now is militarized. We now know, because of recent revelations, how compromised Silicon Valley companies, digital companies, have become in this national security enterprise. So that's what we're up against. We're up against people's livelihoods. There's such massive amounts of money and profits being made off the war on terror, off of national security now, that's a powerful enemy. And so, when individuals, what I get great, though, inspiration from Holly is when an individual, it's like the guy in Tiananmen Square who stood in front of the tank, that tank representing the colossus of the Chinese government and the Chinese military. That's what we're starting to see in this country now from people like Bradley Manning, from Ed Snowden, and so on. They're standing in front of the tank that's trying to, roll over American democracy. And we have to stand behind them, because if we don't, it's the same thing that happened to that young man in Beijing is going to happen to American democracy.
And let's go to more callers. Ashe in Felton, welcome to your call. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. I guess I'm concurring with the previous your speakers on the air.
David Talbot and Kevin Gospela.
Yes, ma'am. And I guess what it comes down to, I think, that the American people, we're all of us folks, we're paying for it. And the government or the military, it feels like they've got the game rigged. I mean, it's almost like Las Vegas. You know, they've got the game rigged, and now they want to do their military trip without telling anybody. And you shouldn't know, and you're a traitor and everything. But these young men who are able to get into the be the ghost in the machine, and to come back and tell the military, come back and tell the American people, well, this is what your military is doing. You know, you're paying for the war, you're paying for the illegal war, you're paying for the drones. You're paying for the drones over your own country.
Thank you, Ashe. Let's get some final thoughts from Kevin and David on that. And Kevin, you're there at the first day of the sentencing phase of this trial, which is expected to potentially last for weeks. So what do you think we should be paying attention to as we're watching this?
I guess the wrapping thought that I have to give for this program is that I'm going to be here every day of this sentencing. And people who are paying attention to media might not really know what's going on, because there's not going to be a whole lot of media here again until you finally hear that the judge is about to read the verdict for Manning's ultimate sentence. And so what I have to question is where the press's priorities are at in all of this, because I do think that this trial has brought into focus how the future of journalism is at stake. And I think that this is part of the Obama administration's aggressive war on leaks and whistleblowers, and that implicates press freedom, and that they should be here and there should be a concern, not only for the fact that they benefited from publishing this information. They wrote stories and published those scoops and got lots of attention, and they've abandoned Bradley Manning collectively. The U.S. press has abandoned covering his story to follow this, and I think they had a duty and obligation to follow it as every step of the way, like they covered the George Zimmerman trial, but they have failed.
And just 30 seconds, Kevin. I mean, David, the press has failed the American people, he said.
Well, yeah, absolutely, as I've been saying throughout the show. But also I want to bring this home and say, you know who else has failed us? Dianne Feinstein, our senator, and our representative, Nancy Pelosi. You know, I wrote a book, Season the Witch, all about San Francisco values and how important they are and how we fought for those values. And they are not representing those values at all at this point. By siding with the national security people against freedom fighters like Bradley Manning, they're bringing shame to our city. And so I think we should pressure our representatives to get them to take the right stand.
And that's David Talbot. He's founder of Open America. It's aiming to connect investigative reporters with whistleblowers. He's also writing a book about the CIA during the Cold War, and he's a member of the Bradley Manning Support Group. We'll put links to all of that information at yourcallradio.org. We were also joined by Kevin Gostala, who's writer and curator of Fire Dog Lakes, The Dissenter. He is covering the Bradley Manning trial from inside the courtroom. We'll have links to all of that at our website, yourcallradio.org. I'm Holly Kernan, and this is Your Call. What are the best methods for preventing destructive wildfires? On the next Your Call, we'll talk about fire. The recent mega blaze that claimed the lives of 19 elite firefighters in Prescott, Arizona, brought this question up painfully for all of us who live in dry, fire-prone states, including California. How well are we managing our forests and wildlands for prevention? Join the conversation and call in with your questions on the next Your Call with Rose Aguilar and you. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To sign up for our podcast or newsletter or to share the show on Facebook or Twitter, visit yourcallradio.org. Malihe Razazan and Ali Budner produce the show. Matt Martin is our executive producer. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer. Joe Burke is our studio engineer. Our theme music was composed and performed by Live Human. Your Call is produced by KALW in San Francisco, with special thanks to our partners at KUSP in Santa Cruz.